5-9, the Big Kahuna, Honolulu's only classic rock, continues the intermission special this evening with a conversation sure to pique your interest. It's Dave Lawrence, and joining me on the phone is a guy you've been hearing tonight as we broadcast Jimi Hendrix live at the Fillmore East. He's playing the fine bass lines, and he's a part of rock history. He's also the man on bass on Blue Wild Angel, live at the Isle of Wight. And that's the new release from Jimi, the root of our celebration this evening here on 105.9 and Jimi Hendrix Day. I am thrilled to welcome to the airwaves Jimi Hendrix bassist Billy Cox. Hey, Billy, welcome to Honolulu's Only Classic Rock.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Good to be talking to you, man. So we are here, as you know, out in the middle of the Pacific in Hawaii, and I understand from my various Jimi Hendrix friends who are in the organization that you got to play some shows here with Jimi and really had a good time out here.
Yes, we did. It was very enjoyable. Yeah, I was on the... Have you taken me back now? But on Maui, at the bottom of the crater, at the old volcano there, we did a concert there, and it was very interesting due to the fact that everyone was seating in astrological order, which was unique, and we got an entirely different vibe from the audience in that aspect.
How did you lay that out? Whose idea was that?
Oh, I don't know, the producers, and at that time they were working on the movie.
Rainbow Bridge.
Rainbow Bridge, right. In fact, that album itself, Rainbow Bridge, came from that concert there.
At the Haleakala Crater?
Yeah, Haleakala. I haven't heard that name in years.
That's a fun one to say.
It was fun to say. Anyway, they had different flags and with different colors, and kind of roped off with these flags, so you saw the Sagittarius and the Libras, et cetera, et cetera. And it was quite unique.
So you met Jimi in the 101st Airborne.
Yeah, we were young kids.
And seeing how it's Veterans Day here, Monday the 11th, I wanted you to sort of give us some insight into those first encounters in the Army with you and Jimi.
Well, I met him through the sound of his guitar at a service club, and I happened to be passing by. I went in and introduced myself. Told him I played bass because his playing was quite unique. However, it was in its embryonic stage and it needed a little developing. And of course, I was in mine too. And we started jamming, and that friendship lasted a lifetime. We were about, I think Jimi was 18, I was 19.
And you were walking by and heard the sound of his guitar?
Heard the sound of his guitar. Well, I was coming from a theater, and it began to rain, and wound up on the doorstep of on the porch of Service Club Number 1. We're waiting for the rain to subside, and then I heard that music coming from inside because the window was raised a little bit. And the guy I was with, he was waiting for the same thing because my barracks was down maybe about 5 blocks down the street. I said, "Man, listen to that guitar playing. That's really cool, isn't it?" He says, "Man, it sounded like a crock of, you know what?" Well, it did with the human ear.
Right.
I wasn't listening with the human ear. I think at that time, I was searching for my destiny also.
And there was an element in his sound that sort of spoke to you that this was something really serious.
It did. It really did.
And it led to you guys not only being, you know, musician buddies, but you were close friends. Is that
yeah?
Is it?
Right. We began formed a group and started playing around the Fort Campbell area and the Clarksville area and Indianapolis, and et cetera, and finally wound up here at Nashville.
And you were a paratrooper, correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
Jimi a paratrooper as well?
Yes, he was, uh-huh.
You guys jumped out of planes together?
Jumped out of planes, but after all, we were teenagers. See, we didn't know about fear then.
You were just
winning. I know
it.
About fear now. I wouldn't do that for anything in the world, but it was fun then, something to do. We were young, didn't have a lot of responsibilities, and fearless.
That's amazing. Billy, you know, because it's just a moment that's rarely going to come in my life, probably never again. You got to think back in your mind. There's got to be a moment where you and Jimi were in uniform somewhere, some little fun story that brings a great smile to your face that maybe you haven't told in a little while that you could share with me. Just a great military story here on Veterans Day of you and Jimi doing something fun.
I think we were waiting on Jimi to come to the gig, and no show, and an hour passed by, no Jimi. So I panicked and went to sleeping on the bed. I said, hey, we got a gig to do. He said, you know, I woke up and I had a dream that I woke up and the gig was canceled, so I went back to sleep. So,
Jimmy told you that?
Yeah.
That's great. Now, your first big gig with Jimmy, scroll forward many years and we get to the late 60s, and your first big gig with Jimmy is Woodstock, isn't
that? Woodstock, can you imagine that?
I mean, put me in your shoes for it. How did that all come to be?
Well, I think we spent the night at Stephen Stills' house, and then the car brought us around to the back, and I think we were lifted on a loft up to the stage, and when we peeked out of the curtains, we saw all these hundreds and thousands of people. We could not believe it. It was mind-boggling. And Jimmy looked there and he said, I'm not going out there. I looked out and said, I'm not going. So Mitch pulled out a bottle of Blue Nun wine, and that's how we made it. But Jimmy also made a statement. He says, look out there. He says, that's incredible. Everybody's doing something different. He said, maybe we can go out there and play and just, it's like watching television. People are doing this, doing that, and everywhere you look is just something to see. So that's kind of how we went out until finally the vibe we threw out to them, they threw that vibe back to us, and it was in fact, someone said we played an hour, almost 2 hours.
At Woodstock.
Yeah.
Yeah, your set there is simply stunning.
Yeah, so we just gave our all in all. The loft carried us from the back of the stage, back up, it was about maybe two stories high from the back. And they had, when you get to the top there, there's this curtain. We just opened the curtain and looked out, and it was mind-boggling to see that many people. And, of course, me, I've never played, at that time, I'd never played in front of that many people.
Sure.
But I was initiated right on, that day.
But even Jimmy, you say, had that humble sort of, he was humbled by the size of the crowd.
Very humble because of that monstrosity of the crowd. And Woodstock itself had, it was an accident. I mean, a lot of people knew that the goings-on up at White Lake, that's a little outside of Woodstock, but no one had even envisioned that many people converging on an area that small. It came as far as Europe, California, Seattle, Washington. And all the states on the western states as well as the eastern states, and they were packed and jammed.
Now, Billy, how long were you guys actually on the concert grounds?
Before we played, maybe 45 minutes.
And
then we played 2 hours, so maybe 2 hours and 45 minutes.
And then you were right back out of there, and that was it?
Yeah, right. I couldn't keep him, because he... At that time, he was the number one artist, and that would be too dangerous to have him around too long, longer than that.
Sir, no, without question. Something that is significant, getting back to the veterans thing, but also relating to Woodstock, is the fact that on stage at Woodstock, this has always been something that's been fascinating to me. On stage at Woodstock, you had you and Jimmy, of course, both veterans of the 101st Airborne. Also on stage with you, on guitar, was a guy who had just come back from a tour of duty in Vietnam not long before, and that was Larry Lee.
And had a plate in his head because of a bullet.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Larry Lee, he's one of the all-time great guitar players, even this day. He's so good on that guitar.
He had actually gone over and fought, been hurt, and come back.
Come back, yeah, right.
And was on stage jamming with you guys.
On stage jamming with us.
At Woodstock.
At Woodstock, yeah.
Yeah, I've always been I've always been very impressed by the fact that not only was Jimmy an Army guy, but and yourself an Army guy, but there on stage at Woodstock, there's a trio of Army guys, one of whom just had served in Vietnam. So
yeah,
and
Jimmy was very patriotic, regardless to who says what. I mean, he served his country. He did what he was supposed to do at that point in time, what every young man did and was supposed to do, and. His version of Star Spangled Banner, man, golly.
Right from the soul.
Right from the soul.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with
you. So, and everyone who listens to it has a different interpretation.
it's sort of almost eclipsed hearing the traditional version. It's become kind of like a national anthem beyond the rock world.
It did.
We'll be back with much more from legendary Band of Gypsies and Jimi Hendrix Experience bassist Billy Cox, including a conversation about the new Blue Wild Angel live at the Isle of Wight. Right now, let's hear his work as part of the Band of Gypsies as we continue with Live at the Fillmore East, our on-air finale to Jimi Hendrix Day on 105.9 The Big Kahuna, Honolulu's only classic rock.